Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Now, I'm sure some of you are wondering, why am I all tangled up in Christmas lights? So I'll tell you, okay? I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever gone through this? I mean, have you ever been just tangled up? Have you ever been just in a mess? Matter of fact, if you look up the word tangled, and I've got it here for you, it says that it's complicated and difficult to unravel. Actually, these are my Christmas lights from home. This is the way I store them every year, and then it usually takes about 36 hours before I get them in shape, before I can put them on the tree. Have you ever been tangled up at Christmas? Now, maybe you haven't been tangled up like this in Christmas lights, but we all get tangled up, don't we? I mean, think about it. Christmas is all about being happy. But some of you here this morning, you're not happy. Matter of fact, you're tangled up this Christmas because you're thinking about everybody's smiling, everybody's having a good time, everybody's just, you know, and it's not that way for you. Some of you are all tangled up this Christmas because, you know, everybody's talking about what they're getting and the gifts that they've already gotten or that they're going to get here in just a few days. And you know the very thing that you want is not coming, right? I remember when I was a kid, I remember looking at other kids at Christmas time and just thinking about how different their life was, because a lot of times they always got what they wanted, and usually it was elaborate or extreme. And my family, we didn't have money for the extremes or elaborate. I found out later the things that we got were just as good or as meaningful or as valuable. Are you tangled up this Christmas? You know, some of you are tangled up this Christmas because of finances. You know, I read the other day that $801, the typical person spends $801 on Christmas gifts at Christmas time. Okay? Believe it or not, in 2001, that was $1,054. So it's gone down some. Why? Because I think people are tangled up at Christmas time. Have you ever been tangled up at Christmas time? You know, in your heart, in your spirit, you just don't quite understand. You don't quite get it. You don't understand the joy. You don't understand the glee. You don't understand people getting everything that they wanted. I mean, you feel like just a great big bundle of Christmas lights that are all in a knot, right? You know what? I need to take this off. It's getting hot. Let's see if I can do this. I practiced. There we go. That's what I want to talk to you about today, is about being tangled up at Christmas time. Because in reality, that's exactly what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to untangle our mess at Christmas. Christmas is God's answer to the tangled mess that we call our lives. Someone once said that Christmas is not a date, it's a state of mind. It's not a star or a moment on a calendar, it's a way of life, it's a state of mind. It's an understanding of what God has done and what God still wants to do today. In other words, Christmas is all about God taking your tangled life and making sense out of it. Have you ever studied what I call the Christmas quotes? There's all kinds of words spoken at Christmas time by individuals, and they're recorded for us in the Bible over and over and over again. The quotes actually start way back in the Old Testament in Isaiah in chapter 7, when it says that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. That's the word of the prophet Isaiah, talking about this virgin that was going to conceive and give birth to a son. Angels had a lot to say at Christmas time. Did you notice that? Angels, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, an angel spoke to Joseph, son of David, and he said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from his sins." Talking about a mess. I mean, Joseph's life was a mess, wasn't it? All of a sudden, his fiance was pregnant, and he wasn't the father. Oh, read my mind, Kim. Thank you. And he wasn't the father. That's kind of a mess, isn't it? But God, through the angel, speaks to that mess. Matter of fact, I don't have it on the screen, but actually Joseph says back to the angel that he decided that he was going to take Mary home and to be his wife. Angel spoke to Mary, remember that? Luke chapter 1, verse 14. And Mary says back to this angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And then just resigned to the fact of God being God, she said, "I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." I mean, do you think she was looking at life like it was a mess? I mean, her life was certainly not turning out the way that she thought it was going to, and all of a sudden she was going to be open to ridicule, and who knows what was going to happen with her life after this. But yet, she believed the word of the angel. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." The angel spoke to the shepherds out in the field, right? Luke chapter 2, verse 10, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then the shepherds actually speak back to the angels and to each other and say, "Let's go to Bethlehem, see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." But you know what I think is the most amazing quote in the Christmas story? It's actually the verse just before this verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rest." You know why I think that's the most amazing quote of the Christmas story? It's simply because who said it? These are angels speaking here. They're speaking to the shepherds out in the field who are keeping their flocks. But it's not just that it's one angel. Remember, one angel spoke to Joseph. One angel spoke to Mary. One angel spoke to Joseph again later in the story and says, "Take this child to Egypt because he's in danger." There's lots of instances where one angel has spoke, but here we have, it says, a multitude of the heavenly host. We have a whole bunch of angels, and they're not just talking, but they're singing. I think that's significant. I think it's significant that it isn't one angel, it's many angels. I think it's significant that they're not just talking, they're singing. Because Christmas has all of its own music, right? And one of the great things about Christmas is music. And you know what? When you know the story behind a song, doesn't it mean so much more? I mean, last week, Eric Cagle in the communion meditation, he told us a story about the guy that wrote "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And I don't know about you, I didn't know that story. It was like, oh my goodness, that made that song so much more meaningful. I think this song becomes so much more meaningful when you realize that it's not a angel, it's a multitude of angels, and they're not just speaking, they're singing. And when you understand the concept and the thought and the theology behind the song, it means so much more. I don't know if you remember 1972. Some of you weren't even born yet, but if you're around in 1972, you'll probably remember a very popular song that was out by a young lady named Carly Simon. You remember this? What was the song? It was "You're So Vain." Remember this song? Right? Let's all stand together and sing this, would you? You know the words, right? "You're so vain. I bet you think this song is about you. You're so vain." Right? I just think that's a cool song. Did you know the story behind the song? Everybody has wondered, ever since Carly Simon recorded that song, ever since she put it out on the radio, everybody's always wanted to know, who's the song about? Right? Who's the song about? Because everybody speculated that she was talking about some man, some person in her life at that time that she was writing about. Early on, people thought that it was Mick Jagger. Okay, maybe we should take a vote. Who do you think it was? No, I won't do that. A lot of people thought it was Mick Jagger. A couple years later, somebody said that they were absolutely certain that it was Warren Beatty. Warren Beatty actually said, "Yes, the song is about me," which probably means the song is true about him, even though it might not be about him, but Warren Beatty. Several years later, Carly Simon in an interview actually said that the song is based on a person and their name has an A in it. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's what she said. This has an A in it. A few years later, she actually added another letter to the name. Howard Stern, and I apologize for even bringing his name up on Christmas Sunday at First Church of Christ, but Howard Stern interviewed her a few years ago, and he said that she whispered in his ear who the song was about, but he wasn't going to tell anybody. And then just a few months ago, she actually said in an interview that it was actually a conglomeration. It was three different people that had been a part of her life. Now, here's my point, and if you see Carly, you can tell her this. I don't care. But you see, the speculation is because everybody who ever sang the song wants to know who it's about. Well, here we have these angels. Not an angel, but a multitude of angels. And they're talking about God and what God has done, but they're not just talking about it, they're singing about it. I mean, don't you wonder where this song came from? Is there like a songwriting group of angels in heaven? I mean, where did this song come from? Did they practice before they got here? I mean, did God get them and say, okay, now you guys are going to be on the hillside here in just a few minutes, and you know you're going to sing that song about glory to God in the highest, and here, let's just practice right now. You ready? On three. I mean, did that happen? It's just significant because here's the thing. You don't just sing a song by accident. A song is written, a song is practiced, a song is sung to bring about a certain emotion about something or about an event. And this song, sung by the multitude of angels, is simply, I mean, the beauty of this is that these angels know something that the earth is now learning. They're learning and they're singing that God's goodness, God's greatness, God's glory cannot be contained by the heavens, but it must now come to earth. You know, we read in the New Testament that if we don't praise God, that the earth and the rocks and the trees, that they'll cry out and they'll praise Him. That what heaven knew, we are now realizing, we are now learning, and this is what we're learning. We're learning that God is good and that God is up to something. And this song that the angels sang, God wants to teach us why He came and what He wanted to accomplish. You know, as I read the Christmas story, there are several things that jump out at me. Things like that God is for us. Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, you're talking about a tangled mess. You're talking about a situation in life. Just to know that God is for us. And that now we're introduced to this person that loves us and cares for us. And that the very reason that He's here is because of His love and of His grace and His mercy. Isn't that awesome? What a great gift. A number of years ago. Actually, let me back up. I don't think I've ever told you this. My father, before he married my mother, was married once before, and he had a son. And that son was pretty much raised and grown before my mother and he were married and had the rest of us, all seven of us. This young man went to the army, and he moved across the country, and the family just lost touch with him, totally. I mean, he wasn't real excited to be a part of this new family, and, you know, we really didn't know him. Anyway, he was gone. But years later, his daughter called my mother. You know, okay, now this would be, my father would be this girl's grandfather. And she got in touch with my mother, and my mother gave her some of our phone numbers, and she got in touch with us, and we started up a conversation with this young lady. She was almost exactly my age. She was a little bit older than me, and she lived down in South Carolina. Several years ago, Arlene and I and the kids, we were down there on vacation, and we had called this lady, and we had made arrangements that we were going to meet. Never met her before. Didn't know what she looked like. We walked in the restaurant, and I remember having this moment in time. I looked across the restaurant, busy restaurant, people everywhere, and I saw this beautiful lady that looked just like me. I'm serious. I'm thinking, that's got to be her. You know, so I walk over, I introduce myself, introduce Arlene, introduce the kids. We sat down, we had dinner. It was awesome. But here's the point. I never knew she existed. We'd been walking this same planet for, you know, I don't know, 40-some years, and we had never crossed paths. Christmas is all about us crossing paths with God and crossing paths intentionally because of His love. I mean, think about it, folks. God is for us. And I don't know about you, but when I think about the mess sometimes that my life gets into, I need to know that. And knowing that is a beautiful gift from God. God is for us. Also, He is with us. You see, because you have this Savior, Jesus Christ, this Emmanuel, God with us. It's all about God is for us, God coming and loving us, but then giving us this wonderful person, Jesus, to walk through life with us. And the neat thing is that even after He went back to heaven, He didn't leave us alone. He left His Spirit. So His Spirit would be with us. The Spirit, the presence of Christ, is going to be in our lives forever, for eternity. He was here with us. His Spirit's here with us now, and we will be with Him for eternity one day. You know, one of the greatest things that helps with the mess of life is somebody to be in that mess with you. Right? I mean, if you have somebody that's there that will be with you, you know that you're not alone. You know, one of the saddest things that causes a mess for a lot of us at Christmas is because we're alone. Just the other day, Arlene and I, we were going to be by ourselves at Christmas time, and we were talking about that here, and some of our friends heard that, and they sent me a message, and they said, "John, you know, Arlene, if you want to spend Christmas with us, we would love to have you as part of our family." Isn't that nice? You know, it's a great thing to know that you're not going to be alone at Christmas time. And you're not going to be alone anytime. That's what this gift of Jesus is all about. Is to help us with our mess, to know that God is for us, to know that He is with us. And thirdly, that peace is within our reach. He said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth." And then He talks about how we have this wonderful blessing of God's peace, of knowing that God is with us, that He will be with us forever. And that peace comes upon us, and what it signifies is that His favor is on us. See, listen, folks, understand this. The peace that He's talking about here is not the peace that we can have as nations or as warriors or even as people with each other. He's talking here about peace with God. He's talking about that God now has bridged the gap of our sin and of our disobedience, and that we are now back in the presence of God, and God wants us to know that He's okay with that. That the price is going to be paid, that His Son has come. This peace that He's talking about is not any kind of worldly peace, not any kind of earthly peace, not even any kind of emotional peace. It's the kind of peace in our heart that we know that we are right with God. Isn't that awesome? That's what Christmas is all about. And let me tell you something, folks. Some of you may not want to admit it here this morning, but I'm telling you, a lot of us, when we get in a mess, when our lives get tangled, it's really because we know that we don't have peace with God. It really is because we know that God is not happy with who we are and how we're living and the road that we're going down. And when we have that kind of peace, it makes all the difference in the world. So, this Christmas, God wants to help you with your tangled mess. God wants to help you with your complicated life and your difficult life. with all of the things that are difficult to unravel in your life. God wants to help you with that. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is God's answer to our tangled mess. It's not just a date on a calendar, it's a state of mind. And God wants you and me to have that state of mind. And it's mentioned over and over and over again in the wonderful scriptures of Christmas and in the songs of Christmas, but it's best embodied in this beautiful word when the angels sang the song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but one of my favorite stories at Christmas is the Grinch. Don't you love the story of the Grinch? I love the story of the Grinch because of the way it ends. He's not a Grinch anymore. In other words, he kind of gets help with his tangled mess. He gets help with his tangled mess by this tiny little girl that teaches him the real meaning of Christmas. But there's a quote by Dr. Seuss at the end of that story that sometimes I think gets away and we don't mention it. Dr. Seuss said, "Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more? Yahoo Dore, It really does. And for those of us that get it and understand it and allow God to untangle the mess of our lives by the story of Christmas, we can sing with Henry Wadsworth Longfellow in his classic song. When he wrote, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men." But he doesn't sing of peace on earth. It's really of peace in our hearts, knowing that God is for us, that Jesus is with us, and that peace is within our reach. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, I thank you for this marvelous song. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to lay our mess before you. Lord, to lay our tangled lives before you. To know, Lord, that the message of Christmas speak to the bundle and to the tangled mess that sometimes we call our life. And God, I pray that we would hear, the words of an angel. Speak, Lord, of your plan, of your goodness, and of your grace. That, Lord, we'll hear the angel speak to Mary and to Joseph. That we'll hear the angel tell the story of what God has done and why. And then, Lord, I pray that we'll notice that there's not angels, but there's angels, multitude of the heavenly host, singing a song that was written by the very hand of God. And God, when we know the background of that song and why the multitude of angels sang, it's all about what Jesus Christ accomplished when He came. And dear Lord, I pray that we would be able to connect with what Christ did on that early Christmas day. That, Lord, He showed us by His coming that God is for us, that He showed us that He would always be with us, that we would learn, Lord, that peace with God can be accomplished. And I pray, Lord, that that peace would envelop us and would overtake our life and define, Lord, not only who we are, but who we're becoming. And bless us, Lord, as we strive to be just that. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website, at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, Christ.com.